In verse 1 through 9. The same day went Jesus out of the house, set by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I want to speak on today a subject that I hope to plant a picture in your mind, but more than that, an idea to change us in your soul. The harvest. The harvest. Father, I ask today you would bless us. Lord, your presence is real in this place. And we know, God, where there's a divine presence, there's a divine order. And Lord, we want to follow your will today. Father, take us and lead us, Lord, to that place. Each and every one of us as individuals, speak to us and lead us, Father, we ask in your great name. Everybody say amen. You may be seated. Harvest is a word that you'll find mentioned in, depending on the version of the Bible you have, about 51 times, some versions 68 times. And the word revival, it's not mentioned in the Bible. You think the way we talk about it, it would be everywhere. Now you'll see the word revive, and the idea of being revived is there. But I think if we can truly embrace and understand what the word harvest means, we wouldn't have to worry about revival, because it would just follow. Plowing and planting and harvesting is all a part of God's divine principle of supplying our needs and growing the kingdom of God. But our life is guided by the cumulative effect that the Word of God has on our minds. The Word of God has to affect our minds and change us. And there is a cumulative effect of here a little and there a little as it affects our minds and affects our attitudes and our output. We can cultivate our minds to receive and grow kingdom values and see a great harvest, or we can let the seeds fall by the wayside and just be empty-handed. God pours out his word every week, whether I'm here or not. As we close out this year and prepare for the year ahead, I want to encourage you to examine your field today. What is the Word of God doing through you today? Where does the seed fall, and what effect does the Word of God have on you from week to week? And how much change is a direct result of His Word, His concepts, His principles? How much changes you? At the end of this message, I'm going to invite you all to come and pray. We're closing out the year, and by that we're also entering into a new year, of course. And I believe it would be great that we could gather together. Families, couples could decide today that, Lord, from this day forward, we want to cultivate, not just go to church, but I want to cultivate something in my life and in my family. I want to do something where I can see a difference from week to week and month to month. A life that gives you glory. I've got to see that, Lord. And so as we close out this year, let's look at our field today. At the end, I pray that we can be changed and challenged enough to say it's not going to be life as normal. Galatians 6 and 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God isn't mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That scripture starts out saying, don't be deceived. In other words, if it weren't for widespread deception that is able to occur in our life, the Lord wouldn't have to have anointed anyone to say that. But the Apostle Paul wrote as he was moved on by the Holy Ghost to say, be not deceived, because you're going to reap what you sow. And the seed you plant is going to be the product that you harvest. And your harvest that you have in your life right now is a product of seeds that you have sown or cultivated or not cultivated. The reason that Paul writes such a letter to the Galatians was because they had turned from the doctrine that he had taught them and were mixing in some of the old law. Things they could see, things they could touch and feel and look religious, rather than just living a life and being religious. And so they turned away from that, and basically they were embracing works to replace their faith. In other words, look what I am, rather than let me plant seeds and pray and water it with my tears and wait on a change to come. They would say, let me show you by what I don't eat or what I do eat that I am a very religious person. It was the spirit of the Pharisees was upon them, and they were trying to do things for show and not do things for substance. Substance takes a while. We can all show off. We can all speak of what we want to do. But what we must have in our life working constantly is harvest activity. I'm glad that doesn't happen anymore. I really am. It's okay to smile. Church, don't be deceived. Now, that wouldn't be there if that wasn't a challenge, if it wasn't a problem we could have. Be not deceived. See, the Galatians were deceived into thinking that because they were active in the church, everything was great. But activity doesn't replace Scripture. Activity doesn't replace true doctrine. We can have a flurry of activity and be way off on our doctrine. What is our activity? Lord, help us today that we're not deceived. Paul was warning them that there was a reckoning day, a harvest was coming, that he said it's going to prove every man's work. I'll tell you, one of the most confusing things in a church is to see someone that looks the part and they're here and they're praising God, but they're not planting any seeds and they're not cultivating any seeds, and their life is a contradiction to what they show when you see them. And you scratch your head and say, but what's going on? There seems to be a facade there. And that's what Paul was saying, is don't be deceived into thinking that just because you're going through the motions that you're going to have the product of a harvest. There's a book, it's a 365 readings a year, one of those kinds. It's called The World to Love, and it's by George E. Knowles, and he tells a story in one of these short chapters when he was going through African jungles, and he said, we came to a clearing, and there in that clearing was a bunch of small campfires. Just everywhere in that clearing were campfires. He said, but there was no burnt wood. Everything was arranged so-so. Little clearing, some rocks, sticks everywhere. And they're like, what could this be? And they're just all walking around admiring and wondering about these campfires that no one has ever put a match to. They heard a noise up in the trees. They looked up there. And there was just a horde of monkeys up in those trees watching them, just like they had watched others before them. And those monkeys had watched people build fires. And they could do everything that the humans did and look pretty much the same, but they didn't know how to bring the fire. A copy is not a copy until it's going to have the fire. just a bunch of sticks or rings. That's not living for God. But we've got to take the seed of the word and plant it into our heart and water it with our tears and water it with our worship to God and wait for the time for the roots to go down and find the nutrients in the soil until there is a harvest in our life. Oh, we come into trouble when we're just pretending and we got all the show and the sticks lined up, but we don't have the fire. We got to have the fire. We've got to do the work. And it doesn't come overnight. It comes by planting the seeds and watering it and being patient until the time comes. Dear Lord, help us today. I don't ever want to get to a form without fire. Only prayer will bring it, y'all. God, help us to get addicted to prayer. The word prayer is kind of like the word exercise. It's one of those words you can say it and say, yes, I do. And I'll tell you, I exercise every day. My wife will tell you that man exercises. But, you know, it's pretty much like I get out of bed and I exercise my right to do that. But I don't have a regimen. I'm planning on someday having one. But to say I exercise, that's really not truthful. You won't see me at the gym. Someday you will, if you get there when I do. Last year, you would have had to be really specific with your days in order to catch me there. It's all right. But I can't tell you, oh, I'm a fanatic. I work out constantly. Not too much. Wish I did. But see, this deception, it's so easy to look the part on the outside. But the problem occurs when we buy into the deception. Now, folks, I am not saying at all we are here trying to deceive somebody. That's not it. I do not believe we have any fake people here saying, if I can only act the part without paying the price. No, but I think we kind of get into this time of easy living to where we feel like, well, I did enough. I kind of prayed. I gave God a few minutes and I'm going to go to church. I might be a little late, but I'm at least going to be there and you know, get my ticket punched, and I think all of that will work out, and God knows my heart, and yes, He does, and He still blesses you. He still loves you, but understand this. Even though God might smile at you today and say, my child, I love you. I appreciate you, and He will even answer your prayers. You get sick, He'll heal you. You need a job, He'll fill that need. But I'm telling you, there's something that happens when we plant seeds in the ground and we're waiting for long-term effects. And what God is trying to do is get us into a life where what we're planting, we're also waiting for the harvest. And while we're waiting, we're worshiping Him and we're getting ready for another harvest. And we're getting ready to plant when we reap that harvest. And we have a cycle of being faithful to God. But you let one season go that you don't plant and one season go when you don't harvest, and there's going to be a gap somewhere. Going to be a gap somewhere. We found out that you don't have to just say, I'm not going to pay my electric bill for them to turn off your electricity. My wife and I didn't get together, you know, and say, how about let's save $250. All we did went on vacation and paid our electric bill online. And paid it. Got a little dialogue box. You're good. We will not come and turn your electricity off. It didn't say that, but that's what you figure. It's good. It went through. We didn't go check to make sure the money had come out of the account. But somewhere between the okay pop-up and Lakeland Electric, there was a disconnect. Literally. I mean, there's somewhere we didn't get anything. And I'm wondering if they kind of like not calling you and sending you a notice because, you know, they're going to make some money on the reconnection. And my wife called them. Well, here's the deal. We got home one day, opened the door, lights were off. I was like, oh, no. Well, electricity goes out sometimes in the broad daylight. It happens. Usually it goes off and back on. We have to reset all the clocks. I think that's the only reason it does it, just to go back and reset all your clocks. I said, hold on. I went around to the side of the house, and there's that big tag, big neon light flashing, showing all the neighbors. Yep, that was us. it's really not. Small tag. I said, honey, it's that tag on there. It says we can't touch the tag or mess with it or we'll be fined. And long conversation she had with the electric company. She said, ma'am, we did not receive any email saying that you know, she said, we send emails to everybody letting them know that it's past due. Ma'am, we didn't receive an email. She said, we ain't got no problem with our email, ma'am. They have a problem with their customer service, but not, you know, I'm not here to gripe about that. I just wish that had just done something. But I found out that it doesn't matter whether it was a mistake or you just neglected or didn't have it, you end up in the same boat. There's all kind of reasons why the harvest can come to a halt. But it goes back to a very fundamental thing. And that is, we've got to plant seeds in the ground. And then we've got to cultivate that earth. Otherwise, the seeds get choked off. And we've got to wait for the harvest to come. And don't cop out or exit stage right while you're waiting on the harvest to come. We've got to stay plugged in to the kingdom of God and build that relationship with our Savior while we are waiting. Don't be deceived. As a pastor, just let me tell you, every now and then I see people that buy into a deception that as long as I'm here and I'm worshiping a little bit, that everything ought to be all right. But there's got to be a consistency. There's got to be a consistency to where, God, I am into your word. I am worshiping you, God. And I get on my knees or I stand up and walk, whatever it is, and I pray to you daily. And when I pray, Lord, I call out your name and I tell you the things I need and what I need for what. And the next day, Lord, I go back in that prayer closet or wherever it is and I pray again. And the next day, I pray again. I don't give up because the third day something didn't happen. I don't give up because I don't feel like praying or I don't feel the spirit I felt while we were singing A Good, Good Father. I don't give up at all, but I keep going back to the Lord and I plant more seeds and I plant more seeds and I get ready for a harvest and I walk in faith knowing that my God is about to pour out the Holy Ghost in my family again. He's about to save my loved ones. He's about to bless us financially. I know he's going to do it because he is a good, good father. He will not turn his back on me. And I look for a harvest. I wait on a harvest, but I worship him in spite of the harvest. We've got to live lives, church. We've got to live lives where we expect a harvest. Don't live a life in deception and buy into this easy believism that, oh, as long as we just, you know, get along and go to church, the Lord's going to do all of that. See, I think the reason why you see the word harvest in the Bible and not the word revival, and I love revival, I'll keep using that term because we understand in our culture what that means. Revive us, Lord, breathe upon us. But the reason the Bible talks more of harvest, and Jesus used it many times in parables, is because it's cause and effect. Cause and effect. You do and I do. You pray, I answer. You plant and I'll respond. There's a law of the harvest. There is a law. He told Noah when he got out of the boat, dry ground. He goes, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a bow in the sky and you'll know I'll never ever destroy the world like this again. He said, there will always be seed time and harvest. You can count on it. He didn't say there won't be some drought sometimes. Droughts make people go back to God, don't they? But he said, there's always going to be seed time and harvest. Folks, we don't ever have to worry that we're going to have winter, and then we're going to have winter, and then we're going to have winter, and then we're going to have one more winter, and we're going to have four winters. And we don't have to worry about that. There will always be seed time and harvest. And I'll tell you, if there might be a drought in this country or in this region, somebody else is being blessed over here. That causes somebody to get up over here and go over to this place and say, let us buy what you've got. And they say, well, you've got something we'll buy. And there you have a world economy. God's smart in how he created all of this stuff. But he said to us, there will always be seed time and harvest. You're going to have a harvest. You just got to stay focused on what you need and don't give up on it. Can you say amen? I just want to spend another minute on this deception part. See, the deception is we're raised by parents, and you might have been raised by parents that were harsh and unbending. You know, they you know, wouldn't let you stay up till midnight when you were seven, and you know, so you know, well, they're just angry people. But God put them in our life for a reason. But the parents that you were raised set boundaries. They set boundaries. and you knew what the rules were. You broke the rules, you know, there was a price to pay. Allowance, whatever it was. But that's important because parents love us, and there's no way a child can ever understand the love of a parent. There's no way. And there's no way a parent can ever understand the love of a grandparent until you become a grandparent. That's pretty awesome, but I just thought I'd throw that in because it's there. But here's the thing. We have to understand that we can get drawn into a life of deception to where we can sail along, sing all the songs, worship God. Pastor will love you. I'll shake your hand and say, good to have you here. Glad you're here. You're wonderful. I may have everything great to say about you, but there's a point of your life that's between you and your relationship with God. I don't even see that. I may see results. I may see the warning signs, but what are you doing when you get alone with your God? Are you truly putting something in the ground? Are you sowing seeds, or is it all a bunch of show saying, hey, here I am, here I am, and you got trouble and you got chaos everywhere. You need to get back and fix all the things that's causing you trouble and plant good seeds in the ground, but have enough patience to wait on the seeds, church. Have enough patience to plant the seeds and have a few days in the row where you go and pray before God and pour out your heart to Him. Spend some time in prayer. Let God know that it's interruption to your day to fit Him in. You want to spend time with your Father, but when we treat Him, you know, just like a friend that we really didn't know that much in school, you know, like, hey, let's hang out. Oh, don't remember you. Some people treat God like, I need your connection, but I got things I gotta do. Understand, if I can get my priorities right, I can let those things go. Martha, Martha, you've been encumbered out about many things. He said, Mary has chosen that good part. Yeah. Two sisters in the same house. But Mary said, let's drop everything. Dishes are dirty. Cake's gonna burn. I'm gonna sit down and talk to Jesus. I'd rather have order in my relationship with Him than have order in my life, because He will order my life. But if I order my life, I'll never get to Him. But you gotta get to Jesus and let Him order everything else and build a relationship with Jesus Christ. Build that relationship, amen. Oh, Holy Ghost, I feel today that when we're through, I want us to gather to the front. Not now. Got a few more minutes. But I feel that we need to turn some things over to Him. We need to re-examine our lives again and say, Lord, really, what are we doing? Because here's the deal. Our crops that we're harvesting are direct result of what we're giving God. Not where we're showing, but what we're really giving God. He knows what you're doing. He knows your investment. He knows how much of a sacrifice it is or isn't. And you're going to be blessed according to your real, real sacrifice. Your results will vary. Depending on, Lord, how much we believe in you. I don't want to buy into this deception, church, because we do get drawn away by deception. Yes. Now let's go to a more happy part of the sermon. Matthew 13 and 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Oh, we all like treasures. Hidden in a field which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. We've got people in churches, they find the treasure, but they don't want to buy the field because it costs you something to buy the field. You know what it costs you? Exactly everything. He sold everything and bought the field. You sell everything, you sell anything short of everything, and you're not going to buy the field. Dear Lord, help me that I can persevere, that I can give it up for you. I don't save any for myself. He sells all that he has and buys the field. This man knew there was value in the treasure that he saw. See, he was borrowing the field, perhaps a sharecropper, just renting it so he could provide for his family. Some people live that way. I don't really have it, don't really own it, but I'm going to park here a little bit because I think it's the right thing to do. But let me tell you, you sell out to him. You go and say, God, take it all from me. I want to turn it all over to you. I don't need to reserve anything for myself. You'll give my life back to me. You will give my life back to me, God. I know that today. See, there's a part of this one sentence parable that we miss. It said he was working when he found the treasure. He wasn't a treasure hunter. He was working the field. Now, that's the indication. He was in the field and it wasn't his. We're thinking it was a field where you harvest at. But he was working. He was doing what he could. When he found what God could give him, he was working. The harvest field is a place where when we start plowing or planting, God's going to show us the treasures there. Whatever you need, he'll show it to you. But the harvest field is where you can map out a difference in your life. Don't settle for form without fire. Don't settle for just what looks like the sticks all arranged. It's just so. We got it all. The form is right. But oh, let's wait on the fire. Let's pray for the fire. Let's serve God to the point that it's not just fire in the church, but we've got fire in our homes. We've got the Spirit of God moving in our homes. We've got the favor of God moving in our homes. And we don't have to wait till we get here to say, oh, I feel the presence of the Lord. Let's take it with us. And let's be sure in our homes we have sanctified those places that God could be there. You map out a difference in the field. It's a one-sentence story, but he had to go home and put everything up for sale until he could purchase that field. He said, I've got to buy the field, honey. You got to understand me now. The treasure's there, but it's not ours. But if we buy the field, then the treasure's there. And you got to sell the furniture. You got to sell everything, the knickknacks, the hangings on the wall. It's all going to be gone because we've got to sell everything to buy it. We can't take stuff in here and think we're going to enhance what he's given us there. You can't trade earthly things and try to plug them into heavenly things and think you're going to get a hybrid religion. No, we've got to let go of the things of this world and say, Lord, I've got to give it all to you. The word repentance means to turn around. It means to make an about face. That's why Peter said, repent, turn around, every one of you, repent. He wasn't just calling on a few that felt like it. He said, you must repent and be baptized. In water, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the taking away of your sins. I think it's awesome that he spoke, of course, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, but so boldly, because it said he spoke boldly. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's simple. It's not convoluted. Some people receive the Holy Ghost. We hear them speaking in tongues, and we know they received the Holy Ghost, and they've never been to the baptistry. It happened in the Bible that way too, in the New Testament. Some were baptized and then were filled. Some were filled and then baptized. The order is not important. It's just that baptism cleanses you. That's the sign of outward circumcision of the heart, saying, God, I've given myself to you and I've taken on the power of your name in my life. Oh, that's the greatest gift that the field can ever offer us today. But it doesn't stop with that. Oh, I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost and just kind of, they never got above in that excitement level. But the excitement is so much greater than just when you start out, because then you begin to put seeds in the ground. Then you begin to wait for a harvest. And the harvest field is where you can change your life. If you're not so sure that you can fit this kind of commitment into your life, it's not the church. It's not the church you need to compromise on. Don't say, well, I want to be this. I want to do this, but I got some things that aren't fitting in. You need to have a yard sale. Yeah. Amen. You need to go back and have another yard sale. I'm not talking about your stuff, literally. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the heart, the mind. We need to go back and say, Lord, I got to sell out. There's some ideas I have that aren't fitting. I'm trying to fit them in. You know why we get hung up on a lot of ideas? Sometimes it's to honor some person that gave us the idea. Understand this, there's a lot of teachers, as Paul said. He goes, there's a lot of teachers in the world. We have to realize, does it line up with his word? Amen. Because there's a lot of teachers that have found a cheaper version that doesn't cost us as much. It doesn't require as much. And if I can stand in this world and then stand in God's world, maybe I can have both. But that's never going to work out. He says, I've got to have everything from you. You got to give me your all. To work in this field. Dear Lord, let's raise our hands right now. Can we? Father, in your name I pray that you would touch the ears, Lord, that are here and the hearts that set before you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray in your name right now, God, that you would begin to deal with us, Lord, before we come down to this front and pray. Oh, there's some that will make a decision. There's some that need to make decisions. And we're praying in Jesus' name, God, that your hand would be with us. Oh, Father, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Need to ask God today, Lord, what needs to go into the yard sale? God, let me know. Is there anything keeping me out? And really, it's about the soil. It has much to do with the soil of our life. Luke 13 and verse 6 through 9, he spoke this parable. Certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said unto him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. It's not producing. But let me dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. After that, I'll tell you the work of the Holy Ghost. The work of the Holy Ghost messes with your stuff. It messes with your heart. And it digs around and turns up the soil. And it leads you into places where you're hearing the fertilizer that needs to go into the root system, that needs to be turned over in that soil. And if we don't turn the soil over, and if we don't make a covenant with the soil, if we don't have a relationship with the soil, if we don't get to know our soil, then you're never going to be able to produce anything in the spirit realm. We got to understand the soil of our heart has to be watered with the tears of our prayer. It has to be salted with the Word of God on a daily basis. Oh, we've got to understand here, church. You got to get a hold of the root system of your problem if you want to cause a difference in your life. Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I feel like today I am literally trying to drag somebody out of the flames of hell because you've made up your mind. I don't think I can do this. I don't understand it. The understanding comes later, but do what your heart is telling you. Say, God, I need you right now to get me out of this life, Lord. The work of the Holy Spirit is that of nourishing our minds so the Word will take effect, allowing us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, same thing. Old English, New English. The Spirit of God draws us into a life that denies the flesh and promotes the values of the kingdom of God. Very simple. Thank God we're led by the Spirit. And it draws us into places to do what we need to do. But we've got to have a relationship with the soil. If you're going to grow anything in your yard, you better put a shovel in the ground. I had some bad luck in front of our window trying to grow things. I'd pull a piece of soil out and drop a plant in there. Remember we put one of those real pretty things we like with colored leaves? Crotons. I never can think of the word croton. I need to just have it tattooed right there, croton. Not that important. I love the different kind. Downtown Lakeland has some beautiful croton plants. Envious of what they have. I also think about the tattoo. Think about crotons. So we planted them across there, and they died. Sprinkler system on, everything. They died. I planted some more flowers. They died. Finally, I took a shovel, and I started digging, and it was the sandiest, awfulest ground ever, obviously, to grow the things that I tried to grow because they just died. And I'd put water hose on there and the water just ran off like it was oil or something. Just, it would not saturate the soil. Too much sand. I had to get in there and dig out. The Durwas have helped me time and again with that place. And dig it out and put something in there that not only will hold a little water, but it'll hold some nutrients so those plants can live. That's what the Holy Spirit does to your life. See, when we come to God and we repent of our sins and we turn to Him, He doesn't ask us, well, you better get really right with me. You go out there and you need to show me some fruits of your labor. No, all He says is, you just got to turn around from sin. I'll fill you with my Spirit. It will lead you and guide you into all truth. It leads you into all truth. Oh, remember the little boy that walked into the other building over there? His mom professed to be a witch. Sister Celinda picked him up. She saw him there at church. She said, this little boy, I take him home on the bus. He's a terrible life. And he came to church, apologized for his little picture t-shirt. I'm sorry, Pastor. I was picking him and some people there that knew him. He said, I'm sorry, but my good shirt's in the laundry. I said, honey, it does not matter. It does not matter. He's 7 years old. He just wanted something. His name was Mark, I think. He got in the car that Sunday and he said, Pastor, I'm going to come get the Holy Ghost today. I said, good. You know how he learned about it? He'd been in Sunday school. Sunday school, it's major for our kids. And he didn't quite know the order of the service, and he turned to his aunt there and he said, so when can I go up and get the Holy Ghost? She said, wait. She said, they will open the front up and they'll ask people that want to come down to pray. Well, she didn't tell him there's a time where we come for prayer. There's a time, you know, if any sick, we do it here in the first of the service. Then we did it like we've done it in the middle. And they said, anybody need to come down for prayer? He went right down there. And he stood, and I remember Brother Richard Gifford leaned over and started praying with him, and some of the other youth were praying for him, and that little boy got the Holy Ghost just like that. He knew nothing about it. He just knew it was better than what I got at home. Now, when I saw him praying for him, in my earthly mind, I thought, he doesn't know. He doesn't understand any of this. But then I thought, Lord, if you've drawn him, you be God. God filled that little boy with the Holy Ghost. The chances of him growing up like some of you have is not very good. I've talked about him many times since. I told my wife, I said, he's heading in a bad direction just coming from that home. I said, but I believe that God, one of these days, is going to show us Mark. And if he doesn't, I'm knowing by faith right now that God's got his hand on that boy. Wherever he goes, and when he grows up, he's going to remember something that happened that was beyond words. What I'm telling you is, it's so simple that a 7-year-old has no knowledge of even what church is can just walk in and say, I want that because my teacher told me it was good and I want something good in my life. Listen to what a 7-year-old says and think about it. Do I want to walk away from something so awesome as this that gives me eternal life? Never, never, never. You can't lift up your head, really, and talk to God when you don't think you're worthy. You got to understand, He accepts everybody, whosoever will. But in this church, our heads that have been healed and lifted up, we can't fill them up with junk and expect good to come out. Garbage in, garbage out. A teacher used to tell me that all the time in school. I don't remember what class it was. Sanitation, I don't know. But she'd say, garbage in, garbage out. Pay attention. All right, that's kind of a saying there. But I got it later on, like, oh, I get it. What goes in? Yeah, I got it. Yeah, our heads. Lord, help us today that we put the right things in there. Now, church, I'm telling you, the seeds we plant, we got to be consistent with planting. Let me just bring this down to where the rubber hits the road. Lord, I could sit here and search my mind of things I've prayed for recently that God has done, and it's just, He answers so many prayers. I have a sister that was in North Dakota. And I remember we went home a few years ago, and she was at Mom's, and I got to see her the first time in many years. First time since 2000 or 99. Kayla and I went to see her. I hadn't seen her, I don't think, since between that time, except I did too when her son was killed in a car accident. Tragic, tragic event in their life. Never, the scar won't go away from that, I know. But hadn't seen her clearly since, 2002, I think, in not good circumstances. And there she was.